Ooh, is that like some spacey UFO type of music? Ooh, you watch some thing up in the sky zipping around. You're like, what the hell is that? Wee-wah. And you don't know what the hell it is. You know why? Because you're not there. You're not up next to it. You see just a blob in the sky. Zip, zip, zipping around. You take out your cell phone. That's real helpful. Then you see a little lesser of a little blob or blip. Do you know I'm a photographer, right? And I'm very, very, very good at capturing images that are lit against the night sky. And the only reason why I'm really good at it is because I have really good equipment. And if you don't, you're at the behest of whatever the heck is in your hand, the little cheap video recorders, that type of thing. Now people with a cell phone. The only thing is, the reaction is kind of cool when they're like, "Whoa, what's that? I don't know, woohoo!" And they all get flipped out. They record these things zipping around, so you have a lot of that. But one thing is for sure, is that there's a lot more of it. Either people are look up in the sky more, they have more cameras out there, which I think there's a combination of both going on. And also, since the Pentagon's kind of report, I don't think it was much of a report. They didn't really say anything, which is what I fully expected. I didn't expect the Pentagon to say anything. Zilch. Nothing. I expected them to say what they said, which was nothing. But okay, anyway, we're talking about communication here. Communication is fundamental with all creatures, great and small. People talk to their dogs. "How you doing today?" Woof. And you know what that woof means. People communicate with their cats. Cat looking at you, meow. And you're like, "Okay, I'll feed you." You know what it means, right? Basic understanding of communication between species, different species, So the same thing for any kind of what you might consider alien life, unless you're of the ilk that thinks that these things zipping around is people from the future coming back and time traveling and messing with us. I could say that's one theory, even though it's ilky. That's one theory. There is no mathematical blockade for time travel. You can go forward, you can go backward. Math is where it's at. The math is the fundamental language of the universe. If you don't understand that, then you have no idea. The little made-up language, our alphabets, all the other stuff, how people talk, different dialect and whatever, it's wonderful. It really is. But really, it's math. Math is the one thing that doesn't have a cultural difference with. Math is math, right? All across the world, math is math. So anyway, when you think of if I'm an alien, not saying I'm not saying I am. Denying everything and admitting nothing. Thank you. If I am one, I'm not going to want to deal with humans on a governmental basis because they certainly can't be trusted when it comes to great power. Because you're talking about any kind of advanced species is going to have better technical capabilities than we have. Unless you reach out to a species that's lesser than we're the aliens in charge, then we're the ones with all the cool stuff, and they're the ones looking at us. But yet we have that on our planet. I mean, we have people who, you know, walk around in loincloths, you know, hunting whatever, with spears and blow darts, headhunters. Remember that Christian dude who went to that island off of the coast of India? And then they say, you are restricted from going there. You don't want to, they don't want to mix the culture. It's their own little ant bubble, whatever, zoo. You don't want to mess with their culture. You think that those people wouldn't want to use toilet paper? You think that they wouldn't want to enjoy some of the flower trappings of life if they knew it existed? Kind of keeping them in that loincloth, making them eat stuff they got to kill and just wouldn't, you know, eat with their teeth. Sounds kind of inhuman to me. Just me. But then there was a Christian guy who went there. He was going to go there and spread Christianity on people that didn't know anything about anything about anything, except how to, you know, how to chop your head off. That's kind of what they had going on. Their only skill set was the kill set. No, he's going to save the world by converting whatever, I don't know, whatever they pray to, converting that to Christianity. And they chopped his head off. They chopped his head off. Now his family, the family wants restitution because the guy went there stupidly and arrogantly, tried to convert some what's-its into Christians. In my book, that's a Darwin Award, man. You know what I mean? I don't think that, I think that's actually a pretty out, something to stand out as a Darwin Award. Anyway, I don't feel bad for people like that because they do what they do. If I'm an alien, that's my entertainment, to watch these little human monkeys try to make their way through life and do all the crazy stuff they do and pray to all the gods that they created and all that stuff. You know, look how people treat each other. I'm going to look at humans all across the world. Look how people treat each other. We allow others to live in abject poverty, drink mud water, and eat rats, while we sit there with way too much. But am I willing to give it up? No. Because I understand capitalism. I would give it all up for a little more. You know what I mean? Do I give? I give too much. And then people think you're weak and they don't appreciate it, man. I sponsored this kid in Mexico for 30 freaking years. Did he ever send me a birthday card? No. No. Anyway, I didn't sponsor anybody for 30 years. You know what? I give carefully, and I'm very selective. ASPCA, or the SPCA, whatever you want to call them, depending on what area it is, I support them. I support them. I support the little animals. I'm happy to help in any possible way. They're amazing. So good, especially the no-kill shelters, you know. They hook people up with a lot of love. I love that, man. I like the Red Cross. I think that they show up when the disaster happens and they hook people up. They help people out and they serve and they do a good job. Also, the not just, you know, the Red Cross here in the United States, also the International Red Cross. Because caring is sharing. Helping people out. See, now if I'm an alien, I like that. I like what you're doing. You're being kind and considerate and compassionate without sacrificing your own personal beliefs, whatever they may be. I don't know. People believe in a lot of weird stuff, which if I'm an alien, it makes me a little leery and weary of people. You ever been around Elvis Country in Tennessee? You know what I'm talking about. A little leery and weary. People put a lot of stock in schlock. You know, and I don't. I just kind of deal with realities, man. What's my reality right now? Well, I'm broadcasting to an international audience, telling you all whatever the hell I'm saying, which could be anything at any time, anywhere, right? But when it comes to communication, and no matter who you're dealing with, there's you want to be able to identify with the person that you're communicating with. So then I got these groups out there that hit me up because of my show, and they say, this one guy says he can communicate with aliens. He's out there up in Arizona, man, northern Arizona, that they're around all the time. They come visit. I'm like, did they ever stop by for like coffee or something? I'd be down for that. It'd be a very weird meeting. I definitely have to have a camera, a couple or something. And then, you know, they are still, see, to Native Americans, they're still the ant people. And to me, it's the stories. I love the old stories. It's not the news. It's not CNN. It's not any of these crap channels, you know, because they don't tell the story, right? The elders in these tribes, you know, kept these stories very close to them and personal. They retold these stories, not changing bits of it, because they wanted the truth to be told of the old ways. I love that. If I'm an alien, I really love that, because those people have more of a connection with something than all of the new people that don't have an understanding of. So good. So apparently, once upon a time, or depending what culture you listen to, I'll repeat, the Navajo tale is that, and this goes way back, right? Way back, tens of thousands of years. They don't really have a time of it, you know? And they said that the ant people called them to a certain place. And this is out in the West somewhere, you know? I kind of, me personally, I've done research on this, and I narrowed it down to an area. And this is going by all the different nations of the Indian tribes' stories, that they all told the same story, basically, that they heard a song in their head. Sometimes they said they heard a voice, a song, something that guided them, all of them, to this one place in particular. And then when they got to this place, all these different nations, they all went in underground, they said underground, where the ant people were. And the ant people, they draw pictures of them, they draw descriptions of them. They look like grays, you know, of course. The narrow head, the big black eyes, and all that. What do you think of that? They all have the same story. They all went inside and they went underground. This major cataclysm happened, and then they were taught how to exist in their new condition, in their new environment, you know. So when they all came out sometime later into the fourth world, because they describe it like Navajo, first world, second world, third world, fourth world. So this is the fourth world they came out, and that's what they all gathered in Chaco Canyon, which is New Mexico, and they built these areas that are phenomenal. If you ever have time, Google, you know, Chaco Canyon and look at those structures. Tell me those structures weren't built for specific purposes other than just people meeting and greeting and gathering. But this is where all these nations came together to come together, you know, to deal with one another. But there was a harmony going on there. So all that happens within communication. So it all started with the Pentagon. Pentagon, now this is recent news. Pentagon to study UFO sightings in restricted U.S. airspace. Isn't that funny though? Because number one, of course, you know what I mean? Like they haven't been doing this for how long? But here it is, like, in the news, you know what I mean? Like, well, they're going to. The group will assess objects of interest that mitigate any associated threats, the Pentagon said. Oh, you mean like waltzing into your restricted airspace, taking a big poop of light in the sky, and then kind of waltzing over? I'm going to check this out over here. Ooh, let me check that out. If I was an alien, I would do that just for laughs. You know what I mean? Let me check out this Area 51 and hover with some light. Oh, I'll give those Area 51 people a real show. I'll land right next to them, come out, whack them with some stun gun power. And fly away. Woohoo. And they would love it. And they would love it. Those people would be like, dude, I looked at the sky and there was this amazing light. And then it landed right next to me. It came out and there was this big dude, looked like an ant head, and he just whacked me with a beam. Looked me up. Man, I woke up and I pooped my pants and that was great. That's it. Go on Twitter. Mr. Poopy Pants Alien Abduction Guy. Check me out. Make notes next time where it depends. So good. They have a group to assess. So do you think there's a security risk when you have high-level equipment like the Nimitz, you know, an aircraft carrier, and you have a bunch of objects floating above it and kind of moving around in a little fashion light show up in the sky? Or bases or anywhere where it's high level security, right? Gotta set your standards, you know. You gotta have your, it's like dating. You gotta have your limitations, man. Maybe. All right, maybe you don't. It's up to the individual. Leave me alone. Let's see, the Airborne Object Identification and Management Synchronization Group. That's a name. I feel like I just ran around the Pentagon a couple times. The Airborne Object Identification and Management Synchronization Group. Who comes up with this freaking name? That's a mouthful, especially if you have some kind of title after that. Who you work for? I'm with the Airborne Object Identification and Management Synchronization Group. You know, I'm to detect, identify, and attribute objects of interest, like supermodels. Did you just say like supermodels? Yes. I think they're aliens. See, that's why they don't hire me for these jobs. Because I'd be tracking a whole different type of body than looking for some aliens. You want to find aliens? They're apparently hovering above the Nimitz. I don't think you need much more of and they're like, well, we don't know who they are. We don't know who they are. That's pretty terrible when you have billions of dollars of equipment designed to know who they are. You know what I mean? And you don't know who they are. That's embarrassing, as a matter of fact. You know, at that point, just lie. Tell people anything. They believe it too, because people are stupid, apparently. From what the ones I see out there, they'll believe it all. You tell, especially though the government said it. Did you ever think you'd see a day when people like obeyed government and corporations and then like whatever they say is true? Oh my God. That wasn't the world that I grew up in, man. People were much more, I don't know, whatever they were, paranoid and rightfully scared. The Airborne Object Identification and Management Synchronization. You know, that's AOIMSG. OIM. OI. The OIM. The OIMSG. Who do you work for? Forget it. What did you say? UFO guy. UFO seeker. Airborne object identification. Ugh. That's why we probably, how much money did it cost to think of that name? How many millions do you think they, how many committees do you think they got together and came up with that, right? So anyway, their directives include reducing gaps in intelligence. Now, I'm all for that. You know what I mean? And before you go into space, I think that you need to start getting into those gaps of intelligence within people in our society. Start there and then work your way up. Start with your common street urchin and work your way up. You know what I mean? Your commonplace person. And but they want to analyze intelligence and counterintelligence data and recommend policy in the area. Sounds like a squash match, you know? The Defense Department has said it takes any reports of aerial incursions, identified or unidentified, had to slip that in there, very seriously, and investigates each one. Isn't that like a horrible, you know, you'd think that you'd have more of a reliability on these guys, man. So let's see. The report that came out said of 144 reports made about the phenomenon since 2004, they could not explain all but one. This is the UFO stuff. No clear indication. Yeah, that one that they were chasing down. That was kind of just blooping around. The one that went from like 80,000 feet down to the ocean, under the ocean without making a splash, 500 miles per hour under the ocean. Yeah, that one, that's pretty interesting technology. Let's see. Several possible explanations were offered at the time, including advanced technologies from another nation like China or Russia. Do you really think that we would allow China or Russia to hover above our bases or over the Nimitz and ploop around with a bunch of light without firing a missile at them? You know, or 100 or 200. It was natural atmospheric phenomenon. Ooh, ice crystals. You know, that's what they said about that huge alien battle over Nuremberg, Germany in like 1561. Oh, no, it was the sun pillar. You didn't see discs shooting light at each other, crashing to the ground, and all the stuff, all the drama of an alien battle in the sky in 1561. It was ice crystals. The people that say this, are they really like, I think they just come, they have them locked in the room. I imagine just somebody who just really has, I don't know, he's in a lab coat and he talked like this and he lives in a room and they're like, you know, we need an explanation for this obvious alien battle. There was sun pillars, stupid. And then they go and publish it. They call CNN. Well, what was it? Well, it was sun pillars, stupid. Sun pillars. That's amazing. Yes. You know, light. It was light. So, ice crystals. How about it was a snow cone? Ooh, I like a snow cone, man. That the ice crystals that could register on radar systems and developments of classified programs by U.S. entities. So your multi-billion-dollar radar systems get fudged when there's some ice crystals around. Yeah, that's why we spend our money. I'd rather solve poverty. I'd rather take the reasons of people have for hate, terrorists and all that, take those reasons away. You stop blowing people away and start caring for people, you know? Give them the chance to care for you back. If I was an alien, that's what I would say to you. Let's see. The one was with high confidence. It was deemed to be a large. Oh, they found a large deflated balloon. Was it near election day? I bet it was. Let's see. So screw them. I want to hear from Canadians. I have a little favorite Canadian. She's so cute as a button. Cute as a button, eh? See? See, in New York, we say, hey, you're cute as a button. in Canada, it's you cute as a button, eh? See, you gotta flip the A. That's that North-South thing, man. Acclaimed Canadian ufologist Christopher Rutowski can be described as Canadian's Fox Mulder. I don't know who either of them are. He recently traveled to. See, that's why my show is pure. I don't have any opinions about these people, man. They are what they are. Unless I have to, like, really delve into somebody or somebody who's full of crap. I know a Canadian who's full of crap. Tells people he's a medium and he's not. That's kind of interesting. Let's see. So he recently traveled to Duncan, British Columbia, Columbia, a small town on the Vancouver Island. Vancouver, very beautiful area. You have to say that Canada has some unbelievably beautiful areas. And in the 3 weeks that it's actually tolerable climate-wise per year, you could slide up in there, slide around, check out some moose, maybe see a Sasquatch, and forget about the cryptozoology, Sasquatch, aliens, hybrid bear, Chinese hybrid bear. There's a lot of weird stuff going on up there in the woods. Forget about all that. If you really want to meet people, meet those people up in Saskatchewan who actually live in a place where it goes 50 below zero during the day and all the way through frickin' winter. That's a different brood of people, man, you know. When I went across the country, United States, just recently, a year ago, met people in Nebraska, right? And then people are what they are. I take people at face value. I do not judge you. You might judge me, but I don't care about your opinion. So that's the deal. But I'm not going to judge you, right? But I talked to this dude at a gas station. He's working at a gas station or whatever. It was in Nebraska. And so it's all flat. There's like no trees. It's like if you put a gas station on like Mars. It's like that. And I'm sitting there. And I'm not really sitting there. I'm trying to pump my gas. And it's like the wind's like whoosh, whoosh. I was like Scheherazade type of. I needed some kind of like desert clothing to keep the sand out of my crack. So I go inside, I fight my way to the gas station. It's like you're walking through this dust storm, and it's like the wind's whipping, man. Oh man, you're yeah. Open the door. I get up to the counter, and here's this guy. The whole, well, he what? He was the same dude in the lab coat. His cousin. I'm like, it's friggin' windy out there, you know. You'll think that's windy? Ho. You should see what we do. I'm like, all right, screw yourself. I'm out of here. You know, you'll be sympathy for me after what I just went through. All right, you. So yeah. Anyway, what the hell was I talking about? Okay, here we go. So let's see. There was a Canadian television documentary. You know, in Canada, free speech is illegal. It's not legal. You don't have the legal right to free speech. And if you go on the radio and you say stuff, you go on television and say stuff, you can get in big trouble if they don't agree. They, the powers. That's why all those people are like, ooh, I'm butthurt from America. I'm going to go and live in Canada. And you notice two things. One, they never go. Not ever. I don't even think they probably ever even been to Canada. Number two, they never go. Never. You know, you expect them. Whoopi Goldberg, I'm going to go to Canada. And then, no, nothing. Canada would welcome Whoopi. You can see Whoopi would be big in Toronto, man, or anywhere. Canada, right? No, of course not. Because it's cold. 360 days out of the year. And you got to deal with Canadians for the most part. So that's who you visit. You visit the Canadians. Talk to them. Tell them your stories of being cold down in America or New York or something. And they will laugh in your face. You know, I saw 45 below zero one time in Lake George, New York. I was up there. It was February. Every day was 5 below zero during the day and 15 below at night. And then one night it went down to 45 below zero. I was living in this huge goddamn haunted house with big, thick, 22-inch thick stone walls with electric heat baseboard. And it was cold. It was horrible. And then I called my friend 4 o'clock in the morning, my friend Jay. I was like, Jay, it's 45 below zero outside without the wind chill. He was like, holy shit. I'm like, yeah, man. And then I'm like, I'm going to go outside and see what it's like. So I put my parka on. And I went out there, and, like, my whole face, like, cracked. It was... Went back inside, and I tell Canadians that story. They're like, yeah, 45 below ain't bad. You know, that's all right. There's nothing. Well, 45 is a good, that's a good summer. It's nice. 45 below zero? That's warm, man. Anyway. So don't try to sympathize with people who have no sympathy for you. You got to tell people like from Florida, you know what I mean? Like, it's 45 below zero. Oh, my God. How are you alive? That's the kind of crap I want to hear. I want to hear sympathy, some kind of empathy, some kind of feeling for my horrible, horrible, horrible cold survival that was. Yeah, upstate New York. So, let's see. Now, in Canada, let's see, they've had thousands of sightings of UFOs. They did a survey to show that there was an average of 2 witnesses per UFO sighting, that the sightings lasted about 15 minutes each. Many witnesses were police officers, pilots, and other people with keen observational skills. Keen observational skills. You got that Dudley Do-Right up there, man, the mounted. That's what I remember of Bullwinkle. I grew up with Canadian influence and from Long Island. I know we blamed Canada for all the bad weather on Long Island. It was like another Alberta clipper. People are like, F Alberta. I still think of that when I hear Alberta Clipper. Isn't it funny how you grow up? So most sightings come from Quebec and Ontario. Quebec, 518 sightings. That's a lot of UFOs, man. So what do you think the UFOs are doing up there? You know it ain't Whoopi Goldberg. What do you think the UFOs are doing? Or Michael Moore is another one. Michael Moore, who like basically lives on the edge of Canada. Like, you can walk across the street, go across that river or lake, whatever you got, and you're in Canada. But there's only one good thing about Canada. Anyway, so in its final report, the UFOlogists research broke down cases by the numbers and the level of strangeness at an alien encounter being more than unusual than flashing lights, for example, the reliability of a sighting and its duration. You see, level of strangeness, man, I developed that in Greenwich Village back in the 1980s. I really had that all down pat. There was a level of strangeness that you just have to kind of know what to avoid. So, unless you like that sort of thing. So, this report notes with an increasing number of cell phones, dash cams, traffic cameras. They clocked the UFO going 500 miles an hour down the road and they sent a ticket. The communication. Traffic cameras. And, let's see. But, yeah, poor video quality. There you go. No, really? So Falcon Lake, Manitoba. You know what it is? And this was a big one. Like in May 1967, Stephen McCallick was reported seeing two flying saucers near Falcon Lake. He claimed that one of the aircraft hovered only 45 meters away from him, landed, and he approached, emitted a beam of light that knocked him off the ground as he lifted off. You see, that was me. I just told you that. That was exactly what I said. I remember the guy. He had a stupid hat on. I hate that stuff. Yeah. Whack! You know those hunting hats? These make you stand out at night. Of course you get whacked by some beam. Pull out my lightsaber, so to speak. Shag Harbor, Nova Scotia. Now, Nova Scotia is a beautiful area. If you've never been to Nova Scotia, don't go. But if you've been there, you know, if you've never been there, you should go. You know what? It's a fishing type of place. There are lots of cool, the waterfront's beautiful. It's just, it's a cool little niblet of Canada, all right? So let's see. Falcon Lake sightings. People reported that night skies over Shag Harbor were glowing with four lights that flashed off and on before crashing into the harbor. Eyewitnesses claim they watched as a large orange glowing object sank into the water. The RCMP, that's the Royal Crown Soda Company. No, I'm just kidding. The Royal Crown Mounted Police, right? Or Canada? Royal Crown or Canada? The Mounties. Thinking a plane had crashed, organized a rescue effort but were unable to recover the object. Divers searched the sea floor but also came up empty. And since no planes were reported missing, the case was classified as a UFO sighting. To this day, Shag Harbor holds an annual festival dedicated to this strange incident. Isn't that weird? One day they'll declare it a god, you know what I mean, and like have some religion. Some offshoot of Mormons or whatever come out with the orange. They'll drink like orange soda, like that. What's that soda with the fat bottle? Fontana or something. I don't know, whatever. They'll sit there and like go bleep, bleep, bleep. That's what these people do, man. That's why I don't put any stock in it. Because it even, you know what? Ghost hunting, UFOs, whatever your bag that's different than what other people's bag is, there's always going to be freaks that are attracted to it, man. Always. So, yeah. And they kind of take away from the whole thing of legitimacy. You know what I mean? So you have to discount the freaks. Like, just kind of shove them aside, right? All right. In Maryville, Quebec, in 1989, several people in Saint Marie de Manure, Manure, reported being awakened in the middle of the night by a noise that sounded similar to an electric generator. Witnesses also reported seeing an intense blue light shining outside their windows. 2 days later, a perfect circle around 20 meters in diameter was found outside of the home of one of the witnesses. The RCMP, soda company, were called to investigate, but the source of the lights and strange markings remains unknown. So, I'd be blasting Leonard Skinner if that was me and the alien. You know, you want to, like, if you're going to mess with humans, then do it. Stop pussyfooting around. You know what I mean? Sit there. Oh, here I am. I'm going to woo, 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 show some lights. Why are they even here? What would they need to do? What are you doing, aliens? Not me. What are you doing here? Probing people? That gets boring. The first few times you've done it, it's boring. You know what I mean? Unless you have some kind of sense, like a dog likes to sniff every ass it meets, and then also the same ass thousands and thousands and thousands of times, and probably smells something different every time they sniff. That's where I would put that probing at, me personally. So, Canadians are funny. I love Canadians. Some of them. But the Pentagon is not funny. There ain't nothing funny about them. So how's this? And this is for everybody out there, no matter who you are. You want to communicate with a Sasquatch? It's all communication. If you want evidence, if you're in a ghost hunt, if you're looking for an alien, you want to be able to communicate. You want to be able to start talking. I see these fake ghost hunts on YouTube sometimes, you know, and they're going through this building and then, oh, there's something there and they see something moving and this, some chick with makeup on, you know, and like whatever. And these guys run out of there screaming over there. Ah, ah, ah. That's not why people do it. People do it to communicate. They want to know more. They want to see more. They want to be part of it. You know that? They want to understand more about what they are. Isn't that really what it is? To all you people out there who are investigators, paranormal investigators, no matter what kind of investigator you are, you want to know more. You want, and we all have our ideas of things. And we want to see if we're right about stuff. Of course, we know we are. Because it's already inside of us. The knowledge, and it's an old saying, right? Is already inside. We are connected to all of those other things. We are connected to this universe, and you just have to understand how to tap that communication, how to tap that knowledge, you know? So, how would you contact aliens? And when I say aliens, it's a very general term. Because if you talk about alien people, they got all their terminology, grays, reptilians. Joe Montalvo tells me all about reptilian women and how amazingly beautiful they are. That's the people from the South. They love like all that alligator type of. I'm a Northerner, man. We don't like the whole snakey snake thing. Snake boots. Not even that. You know what? Oh, really? If you start talking about in terms of beings, look at all the different species of animals on this planet alone, right? And if you look at that and then look out to the universe, you can imagine the same thing, that you know, not everybody's going to be human-like, right? Not everybody's going to be so cool and understanding like humans are, so nonviolent and peaceful and happy unto ourselves and always happy to help each other out and have humanity evolve. You know, people, right? So you often wonder when Obama, President Barack Obama, was on the Ellen Show and that little kid, I think the kid's name was Jordan, stood up and said, "Mr. President, are we," how do you even phrase it? "Are there aliens?" Basically said that. Or wanted to know if we were in communication with aliens. And Obama, instead of saying, no, instead of saying that, he came out with a lawyer answer to like this little kid on the Ellen Show. Because you know everybody's watching. And here's a kid asking about aliens. And you're the president. And if no one told you about aliens and you're the president, you feel like the ass in the room. You feel like the one in the room who doesn't know. If people told you about stuff, you have to give an answer that's as far away from the possible truth without stomping on the truth. And giving you the level of John F. Kennedy, plausible deniability. He coined that term, plausible deniability. I didn't know. No one told me. I wasn't there. I was somewhere else. I was with her. Nobody told her either. I have no idea what happened. I don't know who you are. That's my plausible. Who are you? Where am I? Plausible. So he gave the answer. Well, Jordan, I can honestly say that, and when people say I can honestly say, you know, they're full of shit. I can honestly say We have never talked directly with any extraterrestrial life. Period. You know? The kid's like, okay. Now sit down. The men in black will be visiting your house later on, and you won't remember any of this. Especially Ellen. And they kidnap Ellen and replace her with Eminent. Be like, yeah, Eminent's pretty good these days with that rap music. Hey, for the Ellen DeGeneres show. Yo. And Eminent looks, Ellen looks a little different. A little younger, a little different. So, hey, man, you got to roll with the times, you know. Whatever the tools you have in your toolbox, you must use them. Anyway, so how do you contact aliens, right? How about remote viewing? I've taught people how to do remote viewing on the show. I've done remote viewing myself. I'm really good at it, actually, you know, with just receiving numbers and feeling it out. So I'm getting better and better. It's kind of why I do a little practice here and there. I used to, you know what? I used to do it when I was a kid. And it kind of sounds funny, but my father used to own a service station, and I had to work there as a slave, getting beaten on. And when he wasn't there, when he was at OTB, off-track betting, I'd sit there and I'd watch the traffic go by on what was Sunrise Highway in Rockville Center. And, you know, people turning at the light and whatever. And then it's kind of funny. I would, like, imagine myself in those cars traveling down the road and what they were seeing and smelling and experiencing. I was a little kid doing that, man. You know, so you think it's just games you play in your head or whatever, or just the fact that I wanted to get the hell out of there. I'd be in any car going down the road, but I didn't have to be there, right? Remote viewing. But in this case, it's a practice that can be used to contact and connect. You know, it requires, you know, just a little bit of sensitivity, a little ability. But it's something that you can strengthen with inside yourself. You know, in fact, there's a lot of books out there on remote viewing. But basically, I've given people, you can look up the show, I've given people the outline on how to remote view. Anyway, meditation. Meditation, ultimately important. And, you know, if you're good at it, you can meditate in any situation. You can meditate driving down the road, meditate flying a car, you know, jumping out of an airplane. You can meditate, right? You might have to jumping out of an airplane if you don't have a parachute. So meditation, this is just, you could take your, you know, if you're into yoga, ting, 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 ting. You got some kind of philosophy, you have a connection with the world, you know, you om, om, you got to get that rhythm, om, that vibration around you, om, right? That one. Oh, I want to meet one of those beautiful reptilian women. Oh, but if she's creepy, I don't know what I'm going to be around. Oh, I want one of those alien ships to fly around. Oh, does it come with a warranty? Oh, so, and also shaman. The shaman that I know lives in northern Arizona, who says he's in constant contact with aliens. And he's the leader of their people. And he says it's a common thing among his people. I'll be going out there and hanging out and talking to them, man, you know? So, and he's a real shaman. Because a lot of people out there say he's a shaman, but, you know, shaman with a small S. They're not really shaman. It's like all the white guys that run around saying that they're Native American. You know what I mean? There's something really off about that. There's something, like, just off about it. You know? So, but let's see. And if you're a shaman, you definitely know how to move that energy and communicate. But why do you want to communicate? So let's say an alien showed up right now at your house. What are you going to do? You know? Okay. So anyway. So again, getting back, how much time do we have? Yeah. So remote viewing is something that can be used in many areas in your lives. You know, back in the day, they used it to go through Soviet bases. We had CIA and all that did remote viewing, you know, and remote viewing of the planet Mars, the remote viewing of the moon. And there's a hell of a lot there under remote viewing. So the CIA had Project Stargate, and that was a big part of it, right? They found missing persons. They observed characteristics of other planets that were later confirmed by NASA probes. So this has been going on for a lot of years, right? But so there is, Ingo Swann was part of that program, right? And wrote a book called Penetration, the question of extraterrestrial and human telepathy. So my thing is, in quantum mechanics, you have this information that flows back and forth instantaneously. Why wouldn't you be able to communicate with any kind of other species like that? If, and then there's a guy out there in northern Nevada who says he also can like think about them, and then they'll be in the sky above. They're around, in these middle of nowhere places, yeah, that up in the sky in the middle of the night, you're not even likely to see much, but in the same sense, he says he's in communication with. But why, if I'm an alien and you're a human, what am I going to get from you? You know what I mean? Not to be arrogant or anything. I can learn nothing from human beings. Nothing good anyway, because humans have a lot of bad qualities that people need to work on. So people keep reaching out to the stars as humans, but we don't fix things here first. And when we reach out to the stars, now we have this garbage dump floating around the planet, because not only do we litter and destroy their own planet, we have to do that same thing in space. So there are things that humans need to fix before any kind of intelligent species want to bring us to the table, as it were. Mensa. You know what I mean? So this guy, Swan, remote viewed the moon and found an extraterrestrial presence there that was in the process of constructing a vast network of roads and bases. Moon roads. All right, man. Get yourself a moon buggy. Put your sunglasses on. Put some Leonard Skinnerd. I would be the alien blasting Skinnerd outside of people's houses. It would scare the hell out of them. Maybe some rap music. Some Snoop Doggy Dogg. Sipping on gin and juice. The guy'd be calling 911. There's a UFO outside. Yeah, the beam of light. What's it doing? Playing gin and juice. I think Snoop Dogg's in. If there was a human that was going to come out of a UFO, Snoop Dogg would be the one that I actually thought would. In fact, when they were looking to name an emissary, like from the planet Earth to aliens, he was like my number one choice. I just think the guy's pretty even-minded. If he could hang out with Martha Stewart, he could hang out with aliens. Same difference. Martha, that is a very weird thing they got going on there, man. But I understand it, which is, makes it more, it makes it more weird. It makes it more weird. All right, anyway. Other members of the Stargate Project remotely viewed civilizations on Mars and elsewhere. Yeah, I read it on the air one time, man. The CIA report that's published out there publicly. That I read the whole Mars thing, and I linked together with the whole Noah's Ark, man, and Methuselah. I tell you, the information is there if you want to look, hidden in plain sight. So remote viewing can transcend not only space, also, but time. All right. So anyway, let's get past that, man. Look at that. All right, making contact through meditation. So in a whole the whole voyeuristic nature. A remote viewing, if you don't like that and you don't want to do it, or you want something a little bit different, you can get into that whole meditation. So, and meditation is also a fun social activity. My mom was the one who teach me how to meditate and even do yoga when I was a little kid, man. I remember we used to like do all that, and she would describe how to meditate, like, when you inhale, exhale, and she would say, imagine all these beautiful colors coming out of you and swirling through the air, and inhale again, and she was deep like that, you know what I mean? So, again, though, with meditation, same thing for remote viewing. The key is to achieving is that patience, repetition, consistency. If you're good at it, you can just link up, right? But what are you gonna do with it? What do you got, questions for alien? I want to answer your question. if I'm an alien. And also with the with this the this this the meditation bit also recommends some dietary and lifestyle restrictions that could take a while for certain. You see, now I don't like that. Though these dietary restrictions are relatively simple, you got to cut back or eliminate refined sugar, caffeine, nicotine, alcohol, and red meat. That I just ate that. You just described my dinner. What the hell's wrong with you? Especially within 24 hours of initiating the ceremony. Oh my God. These people are sick. Sick, sick, sick. Trying to say that, man. I just had half of that just now. Oh man. Anyway. Once you've established your lifestyle habits, you find a quiet place, secluded, where you can let off a real big fart because you're not eating right. And then you're eating all vegetables, and then you're farting your brains out, and you don't know why. Oh my God. Let's forget about the meditation. I can meditate. I meditate when I do martial arts. I meditate no matter in my car. I meditate shopping. So whatever. You got to just be natural with it. And if you're a shaman, but this only applies to shaman. Shaman are hard to find good shaman, much like the extraterrestrial entities. And a trustworthy shaman. While they do exist, well, why is this even there? Gonna go hang out with a shaman? I know them, and they don't want to know anybody. I know one, as a matter of fact, and they don't want to know anybody. But, okay. But there's there are numerous accounts of shaman experiencing UFOs and communicating with them. And way back primitive cultures, like we talked about before, having a lot of dealings, and not just dealings, learning. It was the ant people that taught these Indian nations how to grow things in the crap climate out there, you know, after this major cataclysm had happened and shifted the whole face of what was going on out there, right? So, yeah, it was the shaman, and they were the leader of the people. Of course, if you're going to teach something to someone, you want the leader of the people. Then, of course, they got to be involved. And then it goes out from there, you know? Then you've got to deal. If I'm an alien and I got to teach you something, then I have to deal with you. All right, pay attention. Now, that's not easy sometimes. All right? So, anyway, what do you guys think about all of that? What do you think about it in your little lives? On how these, you know, you have to have an open mind and an open heart, at least. And then you understand what goes on a little bit in the world. You have to understand that if there's more intelligent, you know, whatever out there, doesn't mean that they're kinder and gentler. It doesn't mean that they have some kind of love bursting from their hearts, you know. It could very easily be like the way we treat the chickens or turkeys, you know, or even each other. So I think that the best guidance is that love inside your heart and letting it out and having that kindness. You know, when you start living in that world, it elevates you to a point where people would an advanced civilization, if they were decent, would want to deal with you, you know, and then go from there, right? You evolve, you go from there. But until that happens, I think those aliens are going to keep their distance. They're going to keep floating around like little blips and bloops of light, just mystifying people, letting us know that they're there, you know, and they know that we're here. It's as simple as that for communication. I will see you guys on the next Discovery Paranormal. Next week, bye.